Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com. I'm Pastor Greg, and I welcome you to our study of Paul's first epistle to the church at Thessalonica. As we begin going verse by verse, as it was written, and as God intended for us to read and study His Word. This is part one. For the conclusion of this two-part message, go to our website, BBFOhio.com. And now we begin with a current events update and then our study titled Introducing Thessalonians in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 verse 1. This is part 1 of 2.
The current events update. A little quiet tonight. I don't know why. Current events update. Number 1, I got it backwards. Democrats codify Sodom with the help of Republicans. Now, if I understand right, it still has to go through another vote in the House. Is that right? But they're saying that it's pretty much a done deal. Of course, the Lord can do things because He has in the past. But the Senate passed the so-called Respect for Marriage Act. What it means is going to hell in a handbasket. The Nations That Forget God Act is what they should call it. And 12 Republicans helped pass it. And they needed 60 votes. If the Republicans hadn't joined it, they wouldn't have got it. So I tell everybody, I am not a Republican. To hell with the Republican Party. Amen, 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 amen.
Amen.
I am for people who stand for the Constitution. I don't care what party. I just haven't met a Democrat that does that. Every once in a while I run across a Republican who does. Some independents do, etc. That just makes me sick, but you know what? We're going to be raptured out of here, and then they can have it.
Amen.
And it's all going to burn. Mitch McConnell, all those millions of crooked dollars you're making are going to burn.
Right.
Two senators, Republican Susan Collins and Democrat Tammy Baldwin, penned an op-ed showing the bipartisan support for what God calls an abomination. Then this guy, Republican Senator Tom Tillis, I'm just curious if he's a closet queer senator. I don't understand why. You know, Rob Portman voted for this because of his son coming out and becoming getting married, as they call it. It's a fake marriage. And I want to say this too. I had a couple of people ask me about calling them queers. You know what? First of all, they call themselves queers.
Yeah. Amen.
And I can show you story after story and organization after organization where they call themselves queers. You know why they want to demand that you don't call them queers? Because they demand to control you. And I will not be controlled. They don't want to be called queers. They can stop calling themselves queers. I've had Christians tell me, you're supposed to hold to the end. I have been told by Christians that it's mean. There's Christians who told me it's mean and hateful to call them sodomites. Well, that's what God calls them in the Bible. I rarely ever call them gay because they're the most miserable, unhappy people I've ever known.
Amen.
Yep. Some people thought I was raised in a monastery. I used to hang out with queers. They'd buy me beer, so hey, there's my buddy. I'd hang out with them. I've been to parties where there was always queers there. Never had a problem with them until I got saved. Before that, I had buddies that didn't like them. I didn't know why. I was like, it's their business. But once I got saved, I started reading the Bible. I realized God hates homosexuality.
Amen.
God hates it. And as I said, I believe Sunday, it's not that God's going to bring judgment on America with the homosexual movement. It is God's judgment on this country.
Amen.
I can go on and on about that, but I'll move on for a minute. The Radical Respect for Marriage Act could spell the end of religious tax exemptions, according to the Heritage Foundation. Now, you give to a church. We've all been lied to since the 50s. Churches do not have to be IRS recognized. In the code, and I can show you right on their website, that if you are a church, then you are automatically tax exempt. They want you to file for the 501(c) because they are 501(c)(3) so that they can control you.
Yeah. Amen. Right.
But if you give to a church, that money that you give, if you make enough money to itemize and all that, it is tax exempt. You can write it off. But then what they're going to try to do is come in and find churches, whether they're 501(c)(3) or not, and declare them political because we speak on these issues. And we will not perform sodomite marriages. And if they come in here and make us put a big sign up or something, not all donations are no donations are not tax exempt or whatever, we'll do it. I am not going to bow to their agenda. And I'm not going to stop preaching on things that God speaks on just because they make it political. Killing babies, I don't care if you make it political or not, it's wicked.
Amen.
Sodomite marriage, whether you've made it political or not, is wicked. God calls it an abomination. I believe that Romans 13 declares that God established our Constitution and Bill of Rights. Therefore, when you oppose that, you oppose God. And I will speak on it.
Amen.
Nonetheless, the import of today's vote on the Respect for Marriage Act cannot be overstated. If the bill passes as it currently reads, and it did, the United States is looking at a fundamental shift in its religious liberty protections. This bill could impact not only how religious institutions function, but whether they'll even be able to afford to do so. If you come to me after and say, well, what I understand is that it really isn't going to, then you're just telling me that you have lost your mind and you're watching the stupid, fake news media.
Yeah.
They're out telling everybody that, but they're liars, and I've proved that to anybody who's ever watched BBF. They lie. And they've lied and lied and lied and tried to tell everybody, oh, there's no problem with this bill. Why do you think Mike Lee and Ted Cruz and a bunch of those other guys up there were trying to get the Lee Amendment passed? Because they're lawyers. And they know that this law is going to be used to beat you over the head with the sodomite agenda. And all the liars like Rob Portman, all the liars like my Congressman Mike Carey, bunch of bald-faced liars.
Amen.
And Republicans.
Yeah. Yep.
While religious liberty advocates have been ringing, I'm just so sick of this. I just want everybody to be on notice that if the Republican Party continues what it's doing, I will badmouth them as much as I've ever badmouthed the Democrats. I think the Republican Party right now is a waste.
Yep.
Christians don't have a political home. We have particular people we can support. And the Republican Party needs to know we're not going to be one of those groups that just are suckers to vote for you every time you run just because you call yourself something. I didn't vote for my congressman last time. I won't vote for him next time. Leave it blank. While religious liberty advocates have been ringing the alarm bells about the attack on religious freedom for decades, this bill comes the closest to destroying the religious freedom of millions of Americans and countless nonprofit organizations. You know who they're going to go after? Adoption agencies that are Christian. That's who they're going to go after. And you just remember, it was Republicans who joined to make this happen. They call you and ask for a donation, tell them to put it in their ear.
Amen.
And of course, Romans 1:32, sodomite Republican named Rob Portman of Ohio voted for the Sodom Marriage Act that they call the Respect for Marriage Act. This is right on his own website. Portman praises Senate passage of the Respect for Marriage Act. That man's going to burn in hell.
Yeah.
Rob Portman is a Christ-rejecting, Satan-rejecting, loving reprobate who's going to burn in hell.
Amen. Burn.
I hope somebody I know knows him and can tell him, well, there's that preacher down Worthington who said you're going to go to hell. And if I ever had the opportunity, I'd tell him. You give me. Anybody know him? Set it up. I will tell him to his face. Romans 1:32 says, "Who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death." That's talking about the sodomite sex perversion. And I'm not accusing anybody, but I want to tell you what I wonder. I wonder how many of these Republicans voting for this stuff are involved in sex trafficking. How many of them are involved in gay prostitution behind their wives' back or with their wives' knowledge? They that which commit such things are worthy of death. Not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Well, number two, we'll have more to say about that as we find out what's going on. Here's some hot shots of what's going on in these last days. Brother Brian's mentioned this downstairs earlier. This Died Suddenly documentary, and I'm telling you, if you haven't watched it, you need to watch it. Turn your eyes when it gets ugly a couple of times. There's some ugly stuff and blood and all that. Just on Rumble, as of this was a screenshot from the 21st. That's when it was published. Okay, what's today? The 30th. It's been 9 days, more than a million a day. It's now got 10.7 million views. It's totally blocked from YouTube, and Twitter puts a block on it that you have to punch through, I think, if it's still even available. But there's still 10 million. Now, I think there's a couple hundred million adults in this country, so there's a long way to go before enough people see it. But they're doing everything they can for you not to see this information. And then we have these Twitter confessions about the previous presidential election that was stolen.
Yeah.
Ex-Twitter chief, or he was called a safety chief, admits that the Hunter Biden laptop censorship was a mistake. They admit they censored, and then they say now they see it's a mistake. It's a criminal act. But they won't go to jail.
Nope.
Yul Roth quit Twitter in protest of the company's new owner. He's a Marxist swine who doesn't like free speech, but he's admitting that they censored the news in order to sway the election. That's in addition to the 2,000 mules. That's in addition to all the different forms of ballot harvesting going on, and the people who go over to their mentally incompetent friends and neighbors and relatives and fill out their mail-in ballots for them and send it in, and all that stuff going on all over the country. And who knows what was going on with the computer programs. But Elon, who is now the owner of Twitter, is looking at the records, and he admits Twitter has interfered in elections. So if anybody tells you that you're an election denier and you don't believe the truth, the facts, we have the facts. They admit it, that the 2020 election was stolen. That won't stop them from trying to silence you. So Elon is now leftist enemy number two. Who's number one? This is some reprobate named Yellen, and she is now, what is it? Oh, I'm jumping ahead there. She's with the Federal Reserve. I couldn't think of which crooked organization she was with. It's neither federal nor reserve. They have no reserves. And anyway, she's now saying that a review of the Twitter deal may be appropriate. In other words, now that he has Twitter and now that he's allowing free speech, maybe we should review this. And I've been told, I've heard that there's nothing they can really do about it. But that's just there were a couple other things I thought I'd bring up, and then I decided not to, because it's just, you know what? You can only handle so much. I try to make these current events updates things that information you need, information that's useful, and to show you the bottom line is that the powers that be are full of the devil. They serve the devil. They are on board with the Antichrist system. You and I, as believers in Jesus Christ, have to see that, realize that, but also not get discouraged. But as Jesus said, when you begin to see these things come to pass, look up.
Amen.
For your redemption draweth nigh. And this is the last day of November. And I'll criticize some of the folks on the far or on the right, whether it's far right or right. They act like because all this stuff's going on, we should just always be upset and always angry and everything. Hey, I'm telling you, Jenny will tell you, we keep informed, we stay on top of things, but we aren't going to let them ruin our lives. You know, I tell you, sometimes I don't even want to talk about it. Some of you bring it up and say, yeah, I'm not in the mood to even talk about it because I don't want to let them live in my head all the time. And we go home, we'll watch something on TV or turn on the Christmas music and we decorate and all that. And we just, you know, we just enjoy life.
Amen.
Have the joy of our salvation.
Amen.
And then when somebody brings this up, I spit nails for 5 or 10 minutes. All right. So we're in 1 Thessalonians, chapter 1, verse 1, introducing Thessalonians. And it's always important to start right if you're going to end right. Amen?
Amen.
We've said that a few times over the years. You see Thessalonica spelled with a K or a C, according to what you're reading. And it's in the country of Greece. G-R-E-E-C-E. So let's look at 1 Thessalonians 1:1. Everybody there? Read that with me. Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus unto the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Now you may think wow, you're going to spend a whole service on one verse. I know a guy who spent 3 weeks on this one verse. So cut me some slack. Thessalonica was and is a very important city. I believe it's the second most populous city now in Greece. You ever seen the map of Greece? Usually we look at the bottom portion and think of Greece, but it kind of stretches up to the north there in Thessalonica. And Paul established the church at Thessalonica during his second missionary journey. Now, I had a map that I was going to put up, and I don't know what I did with it, so I'm going to try to find one. Where? How many of you have a map maybe in your Bible, and you've seen the missionary journeys of Paul?
Yeah.
And the second missionary journey appears to have been Paul's intent to just basically do what he did the first time around and go back and revisit, because you do understand it took years. So by the time he would get back there, it would be years later. And not like today where you can hop on a train or if you're in Europe or even from America, hop a plane, you can be there in a day or two. That was not the case then. So what happened was the Baptist church planting ministry. He had a falling out with Barnabas over Mark. And so they went their separate ways. That's how most Baptist churches get planted.
Yeah.
There's a church split, and this group goes over here. And kind of a joke, but not. But Scripture was Scripture. Acts 17, 1 through 4. I believe Mary's going to read that. Acts 17, 1 to 4. I just want to look at this journey that's documented for us here where the Apostle Paul is in Thessalonica. Acts chapter 17. Give everybody just a minute to get there because we're going to read through a few verses. Verses 1 through 4. What? All right, Mary, go ahead and read that.
Now when they had passed through Amphipolis
and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where was a synagogue of the Jews. And Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them, and 3 Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the Scriptures, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus, whom I preach unto you, is Christ. And some of them believed and consorted with Paul and Silas, and of the devout Greeks a great multitude, and of the chief women not a few.
So notice a couple of things here. He's passing through and comes to Thessalonica. And there's a synagogue of the Jews. Now verse 2, you notice he went there 3 Sabbath days and reasoned with who?
Them,
the Jews. Contrary to what the Seventh-day Adventists and others teach, the early church did not go to church on Saturday. They met the first day of the week, which is Sunday.
Amen.
They went out to the Jewish synagogues on Saturday to try to reach them with the gospel.
Amen.
They didn't have church on Sunday. And you remember back in Romans 1, you remember Romans 1:16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to the Jew first and also to the Greek." That was not meant to be a requirement for all of church history. Paul was describing what the apostles did. The apostles went from town to town throughout the known world of the day. And the first thing they would do is go to the synagogue and preach to the Jews. And as you read through Acts, you'll see it over and over and over. He goes to the Jews and basically gets run off and then goes to the Gentiles. And then he goes to the next town, goes to the synagogue, gets run off, and then goes to the Gentiles. And that's what Romans 1:16 is saying. Is when Jesus came, who did he say he had come for? The lost sheep of the house of Israel.
Yep.
And then he did minister to Gentiles, but the main focus was first to the Jew. And so that's what Paul is doing. He's just fulfilling that process. Now look at verse 3. He preaches the gospel to the Jews in the synagogue. And he shows from the Old Testament how that Christ must needs have suffered. Why? Because the Old Testament prophesied of it. Psalm 22, where they pierced my hands and my feet. Isaiah 53, and the suffering servant, as it's called. And over and over, Zechariah 12:10, even prophesying about the second coming, actually foretells of the crucifixion, because it says they will look upon him whom they pierced. How do you get pierced? As I'm talking about a nose ring, he's talking about having his hands and his feet pierced on the cross. That goes back to Psalm 22 before crucifixion was even in use as an execution technique. That Bible's amazing. And so that's what he's saying here. He goes to the Jews, and Paul probably said it better than I just did, but that's what Paul said to them. He went and told them what I just said, and then some. Preaching how that Christ must have needs have suffered and risen again from the dead. What's our banner back there? Tell you in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 1, Paul says, "I preached unto you the gospel." And then he says in verse 3 what that gospel is, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. So that's what Paul is preaching here in Thessalonica, what he tells us in 1 Corinthians 15, 1-4. Then it says in verse 4 that some of them believed and consorted with Paul and who? Yeah, we'll come back to that in a minute. Who's got verses 5 through 8? That's Jessica. Go ahead and read verses 5 through 8. Oh, no, just for the ladies, look at how that verse 4 ended. Of the Greeks, a great multitude, and of the chief women, not a few. Some of the power broker women of that day were coming to Christ. And not a few means a bunch. All right, go ahead, Jessica.
But the Jews which believed not, moved with envy, took unto them certain lewd fellows of the baser sort, and gathered a company, and set all the city on an uproar,
and assaulted the house of Jason and sought to bring them out to the people. And when they found them not, they drew Jason and certain brethren unto the rulers of the city, crying, "These that have turned the world upside down are come hither also, whom Jason hath received, and these all do contrary to the decrees of Caesar, saying that there is another..."